Welcome to Rewilding My Life, part of the Tiger Spirit family of creative content. The Rewilding My Life project is about reconnecting with nature and a more natural way of being. I'm your host, Yang Mei Ui. Now, today, I am going to be talking to Anne Lewis. She's an amateur photographer based on the Isle of Wight. Now, Anne and I, we've been friends, but we're also friends on Facebook. And the thing is, every day she posts new photos, new nature photos on Facebook. And it always gives me a smile when I log onto Facebook and I see those gorgeous pictures of sunset, sunrise, the sea, the beach, the beautiful flowers, the trees, everything. And it just makes me smile and it makes me want to go out into nature. So, of course, this being Rewilding My Life, I had to invite Anne Lewis here to talk about her photography and getting out and about on the Isle of Wight. So the theme of our conversation is going to be how nature photography can change your life. So, and before I I bring us into Anne Lewis, there's one more thing. If you're listening to this as an audio podcast, there is actually a video slideshow where I've put together some of Anne's gorgeous photos and also some video footage of this interview and video of Anne out and about shooting her photos. And if you want to see that video slideshow, you can go to rewildingmylife.co.uk and search for Anne Lewis. And her name is spelled Anne, A-N-N. Lewis, L-E-W-I-S. Let's get on with the show. Anne Lewis, welcome.
Thank you. It's great to be here, Yang Mei. Thank you for having me.
It's a delight. So now let's get cracking. So when did you get into photography?
When I have photographs going back to when I was about 10, which is years ago. But I would say seriously in the last 2.5 years. So the previous 52.5 years, probably I've done bits here and there and enjoyed it, but not really worked at it. So about 2.5 years.
So then how did you get into nature photography?
It's kind of what was there. If you live somewhere like the Isle of Wight, it's really very rural. And so you've only got to go 5 minutes from where you live usually, and you're either in parkland or in the countryside. We have a whole mix of beautiful downland, rivers, estuaries, salt marsh, you name it, it's there. It's absolutely gorgeous. And so what you do is you get out and take pictures of it and then find your themes. I started out with trees, which was got a bit boring in the end, actually. So I've changed that.
So did you start with, oh, look at the nature, and then you're kind of walking around without the camera, and then that inspired you into photography? Which way around was it?
No, I've always loved taking photographs, but I've been much more haphazard about it than I have the last 2.5 years. Perhaps that's a better way of putting it. So I rarely go out without a camera. I rarely went out without a camera even before I got serious about it. And even then, if I did, I would regret it quite often. I think the camera came first, and learning to make beautiful images with it came more recently, or really beautiful images with it came more recently.
For most of us, the camera, and you've got quite a super duper camera I've seen on Facebook, it can be a little bit intimidating. Wow, now that is a piece of equipment. can you just show that again, because I want to edit that into the slideshow.
Sure.
It's a Lumix. Yes, please.
Panasonic Lumix FZ1000. It's a bridge camera. And that means the lens and the body are totally integrated. You lose the odd thing with that, but this is a top-end one, so it's very light. That's one of the things I love about it. I don't want to, sort of mid-60s, to be lugging heavy weights around. So I wanted something light. I wanted something that would produce good quality images, but would be easy to use. And you can see it just... fits my hand. I love
it. It's gorgeous.
Anyway,
right. So we're going to talk about tech a little bit later, because I think, as I said, you know, it can be a bit intimidating to have just to think that photography is all about big cameras.
And it isn't.
It isn't. So we'll come to that. So let's just go back to nature and photography and how you go about, you know, what's your typical sort of scenario for when you go and take pictures?
There are two or three, but my favourite is to be out on my own. I've got to be honest, to be able to just say, what are the tides doing? What's the sun doing? What's the weather doing? Okay, where's it best to go today? And I've got a number of places that I like to revisit. But I like to revisit them under the right conditions. So I'll go. It's no good for me. It's no good going to our salt marsh when it's low tide, because you get far better water and reflections when the tide's in. So I'm keeping an eye on all of that. But I like to go out on my own, take the camera and walk around and look. But look increasingly with different aims in mind. So now, having been pressing the shutter rather a lot over the last 2.5 years, I'm aiming more for simpler images. That's one thing. Go on. You're going to say something.
So simpler images. Can you just expand on that?
Yeah. Sometimes when I was first learning to take photographs properly, there would be a lot that I wouldn't notice. And then when you start looking at the photograph on the screen, you see all the little bits of twig and the can that somebody's thrown down in on the ground, and a little bit of litter, or the stalk of grass that isn't in quite the right place, you know, and all of those sorts of things that you don't really want there because they're distractions. So I try to simplify out the distractions when I'm taking the photograph if I possibly can, and if not, then I will do any little bits that I need to do in Photoshop or Lightroom afterwards.
So that's interesting. So what you're saying is you go out and you look and you see a particular scene or an image that you want to capture. Then you look through the lens again and you capture that by framing it, zooming, whatever, finding the right
kind and the right settings.
But the right set, yeah. And then you come back and you look at it on the computer. So you're looking at the same thing three times. That's quite interesting.
Oh, it is, isn't it? Yeah. I mean, for me, the post-production bit is quite important, because that's where you really turn a photograph that's shot straight through the camera into a lovely image. And it depends on your camera. If you're using a phone, then the phone, if you've got a good phone camera, it will do an awful lot of that for you.
Well, let's talk about tech since you've brought up the phone. No, that's all right. We're in this podcast, it's a conversation, so we'll jump about and go to different places in our minds and conversation. So you've got this big camera that we've seen, but most people may not want to invest initially with in something big like that. They've got a phone in their pocket. They see a beautiful scene. They take a shot with their camera. Can you just kind of tell us your thoughts about using different equipment?
I will tell you, first of all, that some of the most lovely photographs I've ever seen have been taken with an iPhone or, you know, a Samsung phone, a smartphone with a good camera. And there are now indeed lots of classes that you can go to about taking photographs with iPhones, and you get little add-ons. But they really are incredibly good, those cameras. And if you've got a decent phone with a decent camera in it, that's a really, really good starting point. And some people don't want to do any more, but you can still take really, really beautiful shots. I know someone here on the island who I think is possibly using a more straightforward camera now, but she was using a phone for a very long time and taking the most amazing pictures. It's what you see. That's what matters.
Not the tech, it's you, it's your eye.
It's your eyes. I mean, you can have the best camera in the world and take rubbish photographs.
That's quite reassuring.
Because, and this is not an expensive camera, actually, as cameras go. It's not one of these top-end, you know, great big long lens wildlife photographers' cameras that cost thousands. It really, really isn't. But start with your phone is what I would say. And And there are now even competitions for iPhone photographers. It's good stuff.
And really, the thing is to get out there, isn't it? To get out into nature, into the natural environment.
And to look.
Tell us about looking. How can you look? Because sometimes I walk around and I live in London, but I've got some lovely parks and so on nearby. But sometimes I walk around and go, nah, I've walked in this park, you know, yesterday, the day before that, and I'm going to walk in it again. Oh, what can I see to take an interesting photo? What's your advice on that?
If you've been kind of looking up, then I'd start looking down. I mean, what's at your feet? What's flowering on that bush over there? What's happening around that lake? What are the birds doing? What's reflected in it? Where's the sunlight? You know, how's the light coming through those trees? You will go to the same park every day, but every day that park will be different. You'll never have 2 days the same, because the light will be different. It'll change from day to day because of where the sun is in the sky. It will change because of the weather. It will change because of the heat, you know, all sorts of things. So
actually that's a good point about the light. And of course, photography is about light. Mm-hmm. Whereas I tend, and maybe most of us tend to think of it, oh, it's about the flower, but actually it's about where the light is and looking at the way the light falls. That's looking differently at something that is familiar.
Yes. A lot of people who don't take a lot of photographs have said, and have certainly said to me, but you're missing a lot if you're wandering around with your head stuck behind a camera. And actually, I don't think I am, because I think I see a lot more now than I used to. I'll notice that raindrop on that, or that spider's web, or the way the light's coming through something, or, you know, just little things sometimes that I would never have noticed before because I'd have been too busy walking, you know.
Yes, it's about where your focus is, isn't it? So when you're out for a walk, you walk. So just to pick up on what you were saying a bit earlier, that you like to go out to take pictures on your own. Mm-hmm. That to me is again something worth kind of digging into, because I've gone for walks with friends, and of course our focus is on walking
and talking
of course, but walking and talking, you're kind of going forward. It's a forward momentum. And it's always socially a little bit difficult. You've got to have an agreement with your friends that if you want to take a photo, you've got to stop. They've got to hang around while you fiddle around with your camera, get the, you know, angle. And then, so you're a little bit sort of stressed because you've got that social etiquette that you can't keep them waiting. But when you're walking on your own, you can take however long you need.
Yeah. I have one or two friends that I go out with quite regularly. One is another photographer. Another is someone who's retired like me, who, you know, likes to go for walks. I don't these days go out with anybody who can't accept that I need to take photographs occasionally. And if they don't do, you know, and my friend who's not a photographer, the one thing she says is, I don't mind stopping as long as I'm not cold. If I'm cold, I'm not stopping, and off she goes. But that's fine. And I do, to be fair, I will not take anything like as much time if I'm out with somebody else as I would if I was doing it on my own, because it gets very boring for people. I mean, if I'm out with my photography friend, then we just quietly get on with our own thing, and then we go off somewhere else and we quietly get on with our own thing again. But it's you know, it's we both understand where we're coming from. But with someone else who's walking, you're right, you can't say, I'm here to take photographs, and expect them to just go along with it.
Yeah, so it's about being clear when you set off what your purpose is with your friends.
I'll always take the camera, and if I see something, I'll say, can I stop? And, you know, we probably won't go for many walks if they don't like it, really.
So actually it opens up some interesting kind of new ways of being with your friends. Because I'm thinking the purpose of this podcast is about reconnecting with nature. So I'm thinking that our listeners are interested in reconnecting with nature and may consider using photography as a way of doing that. And so one way might be to hang out with your with photography with this. Let me start that again. To hang out with friends who are interested in nature photography and to go out with them taking photos, and actually make that the purpose of your trip. Is that what you would suggest?
I've done that once or twice, certainly. And that, again, has come about through Facebook more than anything else, because I've met one or two photographers in one or two Facebook groups that I belong to that I do go for walks with. And we're both interested in the same thing, so that works fine. But it's also a great way to get out and be with friends, as long as they don't mind the odd photograph. And it depends on your friends, and I think it depends what sort of friends you have. If you've got quiet friends, as most of mine are, then it's most of the time it's walking and a chat, and the odd photograph is okay.
And do you compare photographs? So might you say, let's say, there's two or three of you, you're going for a walk with the purpose of taking photos, and you arrive at a lake and you all kind of disperse with your cameras or your phones or whatever. And then afterwards, do you compare and see who's seen what?
I don't do group things very often, but I think when people do, yeah, sharing what you've done as part of that group, it tends to be what you do. And we all post to the group, and everybody looks at everybody else's and says, oh, that was great, and I missed that, and you got did a better one of that than I did, or whatever. It's all very friendly. There are groups where you can get critiqued if you want. I'd rather learn from my own head. I'd rather look at my stuff and learn from it that way.
And so, talking about learning, did you go off on a photography course?
I've done one or two photography courses here and there, and I last year was very lucky to spend a day with one of my hero photographers, which was brilliant, because that was about critique, but it was all very encouraging. And I have one photograph that I took with that person standing next to me and thinking, that person was with me when I took that photograph. And it's a lovely feeling, because when I look at their work now, I see it in a slightly different way, and I see my own work in a different way because of what that person said. And that day, in fact, has fed into a lot of the simplifying, the getting rid of the distractions, and just taking out the bits and pieces that shouldn't be there. Some people who don't do photography will tell you that they disapprove of people using Photoshop, which is really rather like telling a film camera person that they can't use a darkroom.
Well, okay, would you like to expand on that and answer that sort of a critique?
Okay, very briefly, because I don't want to get too techie about it, and I know we're really about nature, we're not about tech, but when you have a camera like this, you can either shoot in the sort of shots that you would take on any simple camera, which are JPEGs usually, or you can shoot in what is something called RAW, and what that does is to preserve every detail that the camera sensors picked up that can then be manipulated, and a copy of the original still kept, so that you can go back to where you started, but you can pick out an awful lot more detail and do a lot more with it. So you've got more information with a RAW file, and it's a big file. That's all I'm going to do, because I'm going to lose myself and trip over myself if I say any more. So I shoot in RAW, and that gives me a lot more than my eyes can see that the camera's picked up. And you can then take that and find what the camera's got to give you by using... I use a combination of Lightroom and Photoshop, which are part of the Adobe family of things. And Lightroom is a way of organising your photographs, but it also has a lot of the basic editing in it. So you can adjust the colour temperature, you can adjust how bright it is, you can take, distractions, take some of the little distractions out. And you can come up with an image that looks a heck of a lot better than when you started. And if you want to do more with it, then you can do a bit more in Photoshop, which is more about detail, I'd say. And I don't really want to say any more than that, because I can do it more than I can talk about it.
So in terms of those people who've said, though, they disapprove, is it because they feel that it's cheating somehow?
Yes, I think it is. I think there's something in the head. This business, we start out with this thing from donkey's years ago, which says the camera never lies, which it always has. And we say, therefore, if you do any adjusting to what your camera sees, then you're lying to your viewer. Now, actually, from my point of view, and I'm sure from the perspective of a lot of people that I know, not all, we all come at it from different angles, but what we all want to present is a nice picture that people like looking at and that they that we like looking at. So I'm trying to create as good an image as I can with my limited skill and my limited ability, and to try and get that better all the time.
So I think in a way the sort of cheating thing, unless you are a photojournalist, unless you are covering something that actually is documenting and it's important that you accurately present what's in front of you. Yeah. So that you're not like in the things that we learned about in history, you airbrush Lenin out of the picture to or whatever, because you're some sort of dictator that doesn't like Lenin or whatever, for some political reason. I think that with nature photography and other kinds of photography, it's more about it's the artist's interaction, so the artistry of creating something. And so an artist, a painter, might daub paint, rub it out, re-daub it, and so on. And if you look at the paintings of Michelangelo and people like that, you see, I think that there are some where they've scraped off the paint, where they made a mistake, or they don't like the composition, and they repaint over it. So...
And I'd say that when you're using Photoshop, it's much more like that painting process. And indeed, there are people who set out to create painterly photographs, if you like, photographs that look more like, that have more of a painterly feel about them. Quite like doing that myself sometimes, you know, some things lend themselves to that. But I would never airbrush anything about an individual. You know, if I were photographing you, I might tell you you've got the spot of paint on your face that you might want to take off before I took the photograph, but you know, you are you, complete with everything that you are. Similarly, you know, so I really hate these things where they'll take a size 12 model and they'll airbrush them down to a size 0, which happens a lot. And that, I think, is to me, that's the kind of questionable areas in which Photoshop and things like it, tools like it, are used. Photoshop is a tool like any other tool. A knife is a knife. You can use it for cutting up vegetables, or you can use it to kill somebody. Just because it's not the knife, you know?
Yeah. So I think this is quite a complex debate, which I'd love to go down, because
we're not
this is not the purpose of Rewilding My Life. So let's have a look at some of the other things that you've mentioned that I'd like to dig a bit deeper into. You mention groups posting stuff up, and I believe that one of the ways that you started with nature photography was discovering nature photography groups on Facebook.
Yeah, the story very briefly is that I was down at the seafront with my little Canon camera, one of my little baby Canon cameras, doing my best with the sunset, and another photographer with a proper camera wandered up and we got chatting. He is a lovely man, and he's a Facebook friend now, and I know him and have met him. But he said, well, you know, you should join groups. Now, he is somebody who would love me to join his photographic group, his photography club. And I don't want to, because they have competitions, you know, and it's that kind of critique and competition thing, which is not my way of learning. But I did find this group, which is Isle of Wight Hobby Photographers. It's not just nature photography, but a lot of it is, because of where we live. And on that, you could post 3 images a day, and people like it or don't like it or pass over it or don't even see it. It's that, just that sort of usual Facebook thing. And I think that got me going, because you see a lot of other people's images then, and you see the really good ones, and you get to know who they are, and you look out for them. And you see the ones where people are just starting out, and you know that in a few months' time they'll be looking at those early things and going, well, I think I'd do that differently now, because it's what you do. And so it's a very friendly, supportive environment, and anybody who starts being nasty to anybody else gets kicked off, which I think is a good way to go. And So that was the start. Sorry, I keep deviating off.
No, no, it's great. So because I have so many questions because it's so interesting and I keep interrupting you. So so social media and technology, really, for some people, I think we alluded to it earlier. It's like, oh, you know, you're not appreciating nature if you're stuck behind a camera. You know, Facebook stops us from interacting with each other. You know, we're all going to become robots because of social media and social networks and technology and whatever. But actually, what you're finding is it's actually enhancing your experience of nature and nature photography.
Yeah. I mean, you know as well as I do that Facebook can do the good bits and the bad bits. It's like anything. And for me, I belong to a number of groups. There's a flower photography group because I've got quite into flower macro photography and flower close-ups. You've probably noticed in the last year or so since we had the garden done. I mean, it's just an endless source of things to photograph. And there's one about sky watching. It's taken me a while to find that one because there are lots of them out there and some of them are better than others. And you just have to try them out for a while and drop out if you don't, you know, if it's not the right one. There's an Isle of Wight Nature group, which is as much about sharing information about nature, but there are some cracking photographs on that. And we've got some fantastic photographers on the island. We really have professionals and amateurs. And it's such a friendly place to be an amateur photographer because people are supportive and people are helpful, you know, and you can ask and you can sit there with the group and you can say, this happened today and I can't work out how to deal with it. And half a dozen people will come back and take their time to make suggestions if you ask for them. So I think from that point of view, it's made an enormous difference to me. And it's a way that you can connect, or if you're not feeling quite like connecting at the moment, you can just take yourself off it for a bit or just step back from it. So it's not as though you're in a room full of people and you'd like to go home, thank you. Which is a situation any introvert will know about.
Yes, you are quite a classic introvert, I know, Anne.
Yeah, I am.
It's wonderful. So actually, what is interesting is, of course, Rewilding My Life overall, it's about reconnecting with nature, but the sort of also reconnecting with a more natural way of being. Mm. And a large part of what I feel about being more natural is connecting with people in a real way. That's not just emails and messages that are very brief and brusque and task focused. Yeah. Yeah. You know, I'll meet you at the train station. I'll, you know, see you at whatever. But to do with community and the spirit of community. And it sounds like that's kind of entered your life through nature photography.
It's certainly, the two have run parallel, yeah. And that there is a real spirit of community here. And I've made some good friends through it, which have been through Facebook, and we still interact on Facebook, but they're still friends outside of it as well. So, yeah, I mean, the two come together. I think it's with anything like that, it works better for some people than others. I have been in groups, I've been on photography courses in groups. Famously last year at Corfe Castle, where I found myself at just before sunrise going up a hill with a bunch of sort of six hefty blokes with tripods and strong legs and me. And I got halfway up and I sat down and I said, I'm sorry, I'm not going any further because you'll have to carry me down. And I took my sunrise picture of Corfe Castle from halfway up the hill. Groups don't really work for me. They work for some people. But that said, I will do group things occasionally. But you usually end up not doing what anybody wants.
You do your own thing. And that's cool too. So now you've also had some of your photos in an exhibition. Is that right?
Yeah. Last autumn, one of our local printers was starting to put on exhibitions in association with our local hospice. And they took space and they rented space in the hospice shop. They had some very bare walls. And several of us took part in that exhibition. It's finally finished at the beginning of March. And so I had seven photographs up there, which is a really interesting exercise in itself, because when you print something on a large canvas, you really see the flaws. So I ended up looking at them thinking, I wish I'd spotted that before we printed it, because you'll get a little stray something. This is what I mean about detail. So that taught me a great deal about seeing even more clearly when I'm looking at things. It was great to do because it's you can kind of, I don't know, there's something strange about the English, you know, which is to do with being reticent and not wanting to put yourself out there. And we do suffer from it a bit. And it's nice to kind of get beyond that. And what it's led into, which has been interesting, is that my charity, my little charity that I'm a trustee of, which is a whole other story, are now selling them for them. And I've given them a license to sell some of the Isle of Wight ones, and anything that they sell directly, they get the money from. So,
fantastic. So you're making a contribution.
Things lead to things.
Yes, wonderful. So just to kind of pull all the different threads together that we've talked about, how has nature photography changed your life?
I think it's done a number of things, actually. It's got me out there with the camera, moving about a lot more than I might have done. It's managed to squash one or two of my mum's demons. That's going to sound odd, but she was quite a nervous soul, and she used to get very nervous about, don't go out on your own, always go with somebody. Now, I do go out on my own now, and I've stopped having that little voice in my ear. And that's probably sounds daft to most people, but I don't know, it's a way of, it's a bit like having a dog. If you've got a camera, it's a bit like having a dog. You've got a purpose to be out on your own.
That's a nice analogy.
But you don't have to feed it or walk it. and you can choose when you go out. I think it's made me much more aware of what's going on in nature. And as I've said this many times, it's made me notice things more. And I just, you know, it's just lovely to have work that's just in progress, and to see yourself doing something that you can actually improve on and build on, which, I don't know, when you actually hit the point at which you say, yes, I am going to retire now, I managed to start the photography just before I stopped. In fact, about a year before I finally stopped the business. So there was an overlap and there was something to pick up going on. So, yeah, and it's...
Yes, I think it's interesting, isn't it? Because for some people, going out into nature, it feels passive. So you go out and you kind of, you're there and so what? And so because you're passive, it's like, oh, it's all green and all looks the same. But actually, if you give yourself a purpose of looking, of capturing the beautiful things that you see, then you become more actively engaged. So your brain is actively engaged, your eyes are engaged, your hands, because of the handling the camera and all that. And also physically, you're walking about, you're moving. So it's really good for your health on top of everything else.
Absolutely.
Particularly, I guess, as we're all inevitably going to get older and more decrepit as we go. They say that you're supposed to, you know, give yourself new challenges to keep your brain working. You're supposed to go out and get fresh air and move about to keep your body active. So photography is actually quite a good way to do that.
It is. And I'll tell you a story. I quite often drive towards Ryde, which is on the northeast of the island, and I pass a village called Wootton Bridge. And in Wootton Bridge, there is the most beautiful lake. It's a very shallow lake, but it's called Wootton Mill Pond. And the light conditions on that can change from day to day. And the number of times on my way back, I've gone and parked the car in the car park in the village, walked down the hill, and one day it was misty and there were a couple of swans on the lake, and there were these beautiful swans, and there was mist on the lake in the distance, and looking out the other way towards the sea. There were ships reflected in the water, boats reflected in the water. Different every day. I've been down and taken beautiful sunsets down there. You know, you don't get a direct sunset, but you do get the light, and sometimes you get some amazing colours and some amazing clouds. And you come out just feeling better.
I love that.
You're a little bit stressed, then go out with a camera for an hour if you can. And even if you just sort of go out in the garden, as I did before we spoke, having spilt a large cup of coffee all over the new sofa this morning. I went out in the garden, probably took a dozen photographs, was out there about 20 minutes, and I felt very different. So the camera does give you a connection.
Wonderful, wonderful. And so what tips would you have for anyone thinking of taking up nature photography?
Start with your phone, if you've got a phone. I'd say do make sure if you're going out in the weather that you've got the right dress for it, and particularly the most appropriate shoes. I mean, quite often a good pair of wellies is what you need, especially in the mud. Or walking boots if you want, but don't go out in flip-flops, please, on mountains. Learn to read a map. There's an awful lot of good courses on the Ordnance Survey website, you know, and little videos and things like that. So that's useful if you're going out into the countryside. I'd say keep it as light as possible and go and join some groups, or find, you know, if you're into social media, you're bound to have groups near you that are photography-based groups, and that, you know, share things, and where you can get to know people and swap ideas and learn things. Wear the right clothes. When you're looking, if you do get and you decide to choose another camera, talk to other people. Think about what you want it for. I mean, for me, it was lightness. It was not having to lug a lot of weight around. I didn't want to use it with a tripod, so I wanted good image stabilization so it didn't rock about all over the place. And it's kind of get the right one that's for you, rather than going for what you think is possibly, you know, what everybody else is getting. Well worth, if you make a few friends, seeing if you can go out with them and have a try with their camera, because, you know, we'll all do that.
And in terms of sort of sharing the end result, what's a good place to stick them up?
Well, I mean, any if you're on Facebook, any local photography group that takes your fancy, or not even local. I mean, some of the ones I'm in are international, and they're really, really fun, and you get some lovely input from all over the world, and they're different because of that. And that's another great thing. There will always locally be camera clubs if you want. If you fancy going and meeting other photographers and learning in a slightly more formal way, then that's a good way to do it. Finding friends who are good at it too, you know. I would avoid people who offer you criticism, particularly negative criticism, without being asked. If you want somebody to comment on a photograph, then by all means ask them to. But if they start getting snotty about it, then frankly it's about them, about you. And I say to people, don't try not to take it to heart, because some people do. And it can be quite painful, especially if you're just starting out. And it can be discouraging.
Yeah. So the main thing is do it for yourself. Do it for you to start with. Join some groups. And it sounds like photography actually is quite, you can pick and choose. If you're an introvert like Anne, and I'm sort of an introvert, you can be very quiet online, and you can go with the gang, or you don't have to. You can go by yourself. But if you're an extrovert, you love the company of other people, you can also, from what you said, you know, go.
Absolutely. And you can pick and choose. Yeah. I know lots of people who are in our groups who are extroverts, and there are people on there every day will be saying, anybody going out tonight? I fancy, you know, I'm going out to so-and-so, anybody want to come? No, thank you. But it's lovely that they do.
Yes. And that there will be other people who say, yes, please, I'm going to come with you.
Yeah, absolutely. So it works for everybody, really.
Yeah. Yeah, great. Okay, well, Anne Lewis, it's been a great pleasure having you talk about your love and passion for nature photography and all the tech stuff as well. Now, if people want to see your photos, and they are fantastic photos, and you've got some wonderful ones on your website, where should they go?
They should go to anne-lewis.co.uk.
Great. Thank you so much, Anne. Right, to find out more about the things we talked about today and about the Rewilding My Life project, go to rewildingmylife.co.uk. And thank you to my guest, Anne Lewis, and her website again is Anne, A-N-N-Lewis, L-E-W-I-S.co.uk. I'm Yang-Mei Ui, founder of the Tiger Spirit family of creative content. I'm on Twitter and Instagram as @TigerSpiritUK. You can also find more Tiger Spirit content on Facebook via the short link bit.ly, that's bit.ly/TigerSpiritFacebook. Thanks for listening and see you next time.